And our connection this hour was made in the spring of last year, 2019, when 8 women came forward with accusations against former Vice President Joe Biden. The women included former staff members who said that Biden touched or hugged them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. One of the former staff members was Tara Reid, who briefly worked for Biden in 1993 in the U.S. Senate. Reid told the New York Times that Biden had stroked her neck in public, wrapped his fingers into her hair and smelled it, and touched her in other ways that made her uncomfortable. Reid's comments were consistent with the complaints of other women, and many of the complaints centered on behavior that Biden has engaged in during public events and occasions. And in response, Biden admitted that he has always been the kind of person who shows affection easily, who's quick with a hug or a kiss on the cheek, who views warm personal contact as a sign of friendship or mentorship or appreciation. But Biden said he was listening. He would learn lessons. He would amend his behavior. In the last month, Tara Reid has said a lot more. She has expanded her allegations against Joe Biden. She told a podcast host that Biden forced his hands inside her clothing and assaulted her with his fingers and insinuated that he wanted to sleep with her. She added that Biden told her, when she tried to stop the alleged assault, that she was nothing, that she would always be nothing. But Biden did stop when she told him to stop. Biden has denied these allegations. Over the weekend, the New York Times published its review of the evidence in this case. The Times wrote, quote, "Soon after Ms. Reid made the new allegation, on March 25th, the Times began reporting on her account and seeking corroboration through interviews, documents, and other sources. The Times interviewed Ms. Reid on multiple days over hours, as well as those she told about Mr. Biden's behavior and other friends. The Times has also interviewed lawyers who spoke to Ms. Reid about her allegation. Nearly 24 people who worked with Mr. Biden during the early 1990s, including many who worked with Ms. Reid and the other 7 women who criticized Mr. Biden last year to discuss their experiences with him. No other allegation about sexual assault surfaced in the course of reporting, nor did any former Biden staff members corroborate any details of Ms. Reid's allegation. The Times found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Mr. Biden." End quote. Their piece offers a review of what we know and don't know about what Tara Reid alleges. Almost immediately, some progressives and supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders have said, where's the consistency here? This is supposed to be the Me Too movement. What happened to believe women? Suddenly, they say, Joe Biden and others do not want to believe women, and they're asking for him to leave the presidential race. Biden says he will do no such thing and didn't do what Tara Reid has alleged. Our guests are joining us this hour to discuss it. Let me welcome on the line with us Mary Whittier, is the interim CEO of Resolve of Greater Rochester. Mary, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Evan. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time. Also with us is Jerry Lynn Sparks, an author and an advocate for survivors of domestic violence. Jerry, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, hello to Stevie Vargas, who is a community organizer for Citizen Action of New York. Stevie, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And Vince Felder is a Monroe County legislator and a supporter of Joe Biden for president. Vince, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right, let's do this. Let's listen to what Tara Reid said specifically during the podcast interview on March 25th first. We'll listen to that now.
He was at first talking to someone. I could see him at a different distance, and then they went away. And then we were in like the side. It was like the side area. And he just said, hey, come here, Tara. And then I handed him the thing and he greeted me. He remembered my name. And then we were alone and it was the strangest thing. There was no like exchange, really. He just had me up against the wall. And I was wearing like a skirt and, you know, like business skirt, but I wasn't wearing stockings. It was kind of a hot day that day. And I was wearing heels. And I remember my legs had been hurting from the marble, you know, of the Capitol, mm-hmm. like walking. And I remember that kind of stuff. I remember like I was wearing a blouse and he just had me up against the wall and the wall was cold. And I remember it happened all at once. The gym bag, I don't know where it went. I handed it to him, it was gone. And then his hands were on me and underneath my clothes. And and then he went down my skirt, but then up inside it, and he penetrated me with his fingers, whatever. And he was kissing me at the same time, and he was saying something to me. He said several things, and I can't remember everything he said. I remember a couple of things. I remember him saying, first before, like as he was doing it, do you want to go somewhere else? And then him saying to me, when I pulled away, he got finished doing what he was doing. And I kind of was pulled back and he said, come on, man, I heard you liked me. Mm-hmm. And it's that phrase stayed with me because I kept thinking what I might've said. And I can't remember exactly if he said I thought or if I heard, but it's like he implied like that I had done this, like, I don't know. And for me, it was like everything shattered in that moment because I knew like we were alone. It was over, right? He wasn't trying to do anything more, but I looked up to him. He was like my father's age. He was this champion of women's rights in my eyes. And I couldn't believe it was happening. It seemed surreal.
That's Tara Reid on March 25th. Here's the response from Joe Biden's campaign. In response to the allegations, Kate Bedingfield, a deputy Biden campaign manager, put out this statement. Quote, Vice President Biden has dedicated his public life to changing the culture and the laws around violence against women. He authored and fought for the passage and reauthorization of the landmark Violence Against Women Act. He firmly believes that women have a right to be heard and heard respectfully. Such claims should also be diligently reviewed by an independent press. What is clear about this claim, it is untrue. This absolutely did not happen, end quote. Mary Whittier, how should we as a public try to evaluate this? What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I think it reminds me of so many other situations. And the reality is this, Evan, the only two people that really know the truth are Joe Biden and Tara Reid. You know, really, we used to say this all the time in cases of sexual assault against children and the same thing with women. What we can say is, you know, the research and the studies show less than 8% of allegations like this are false. People always want to say, why did it take so long for someone to come out? Why did it take so long for that kid to say something? Why did it take so long for her to cry rape or cry sexual assault or whatever it is? But when you think about 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 women in America over the age of 18 being the victim of sexual assault, that's huge numbers. Now, I'm not saying I believe Tara or I don't, because I was not there, right? But, you know, people always want to say, well, what's the political gain she would get? You know, is she doing this for money? You know, I've heard that my whole career. And the reality is, the only two people that really know the truth are Tara and Joe.
Stevie Vargas, what should come of this?
Well, first I want to give space to Tara for sharing her story. That was incredibly heartbreaking to hear, and it takes a lot of courage to come forth no matter how much time has passed. And it's incredibly triggering. And I think we need to hold people accountable. We have a serious lack of accountability in our society when it comes to violence against women and sexual assault. And just like the previous speaker just said, the only two people who know what happened are Tara and Joe Biden. Those are the only two people. But someone who has experienced something like this, it's incredibly, what are the words I'm looking for? How we experience things, and even when you try to talk it out, what the other person believes happened, and this is like the perpetrator, they completely delude themselves. So I think it's incredibly important that we trust women, that we believe women, that we believe their experience. And I think that we need to hold perpetrators, because men can be, or women can be perpetrators as well. It's not a gender thing. Women commit sexual assault as well. But in this case, we cannot lambast Trump and refuse to hold Joe Biden accountable. We cannot say that we stand for progressive values, that we demand accountability, but we don't do it for people who have our same, or who are in our political camp, or arguments to that degree, because this isn't about party. This is about violence against women. This is about accountability. So me, as a registered Democrat who fights for progressive values, who wants to see Trump out right now, it's not about that. It's about holding men and perpetrators accountable when they commit acts like this against women, regardless of your political beliefs. This man has been accused. He needs to step down.
Vince Felder, does Joe Biden need to step down? Do you agree with Stevie Vargas?
No, I don't. And let me say this. Joe Biden ran for vice president twice. Vice president is a heartbeat away from the presidency. So if this happened, why wasn't something said in 2008, 2012? You know, it just seems a little suspect to me. I don't want to call the woman a liar because I don't know what happened. I was not there. But I will say that these allegations seem to come up at a very suspicious time. And like I said, he ran for president in 2008 and 2012. And we all know the vice president is what we call a heartbeat away from the president. If something happens to the vice president, to the president, the vice president becomes president. And so if he was this vile individual who was capable of this kind of thing, why wasn't something said then? Yeah, I know sometimes it takes people a long time to come with allegations. They're not ready, whatever reason. They may tell one person, this person, that person. It just seems that, you know, the people at least who were around Biden's campaign or who were in this office, the ones I read the New York Times article yesterday when it came out, because I wanted to see if there was anything to it. Because, you know, I'm not someone who wants to support someone who is assaulting women. I don't believe in that. I don't agree with violence against women, sexual assault, none of that. But when I read the article from the Times seemed – the article seemed to leave the question very open as to whether this even happened. I mean, she can't even remember the date or the time. And so that's because if she told somebody that contemporaneously to when it happened, even if she didn't remember the date and the time, they would have. And so it just seemed very suspect to me. And, you know, and if I'm, you know, I, like I said, if it needs to be investigated further to see whether or not this is true. Because right now, where I'm sitting, I have not seen enough evidence to say that he's guilty of this.
Okay.
And so that's where I am.
All right. Jerry Lynn Sparks, where are you on this?
Think of the courage that it took for her to come forward. Now, that's my thought, but that's also a quote by Joe Biden from 2017 when he was talking about Anita Hill, whom in 1991 he said it was a matter of he said, she said. So I want to go with what we know. And I also want to take issue with something that Vince Felder said just now. You started with, if this happened. Here's what I want to start with. I want to start with belief. Start with belief of both the accuser and the accused. And then verify. Trust them both for their own experience and things that they're saying. But then verify. Let's look at what we know. And what we know is that this took a lot of courage for this person to come forward. And like Mary said, I can't see what she's gaining by this. And another point is she did report this immediately. She reported it to her brother. She reported it to her mother. And she reported it to friends. And she reported it to people that she worked with. So her mother, unfortunately, is dead, but her brother does remember. And there are people who were her friends remember this. The other thing is to remember, there's no timeline on trauma. It does take a lot of courage to come forward. And, you know, and everyone keeps saying that, you know, Joe Biden has said he was sorry. I didn't hear an apology. He said there has been a reset of personal space, and now he acknowledges that. First of all, that's not an apology. Second of all, I know of no reset of personal space. So I looked it up. Professor Michael Graziano of Princeton has a book out called The Spaces Between Us, and he investigates through time what personal space means. And it's very subjective, and there has not been a cultural shift in what personal space is. People in power tend to have less of a personal space because they don't feel threatened. So her experience is hers. She reported it. And the fact that Joe Biden helped create the Violence Against Women Act is not a get out of respectful actions free card. That's my thoughts.
All right. So we have a lot of feedback from listeners already on this. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to direct the feedback to different guests here for different reasons, because we could probably spend all day just kind of sorting through the feedback about these allegations against Joe Biden from Tara Reid that were investigated by the New York Times this weekend. And I'm going to start with Sandy Frankel, who has been a supporter of Joe Biden, in fact, was on this program as one of the first loud and proud Biden supporters when there were many other Democrats in the race, not just when it was essentially a two-person race. She sends the following note. She says, I'm always concerned about allegations of sexual harassment or abuse, but I firmly believe that until facts can be verified and witnesses' testimony taken under oath, it remains an allegation. We have seen examples on both sides, with accusers shown to be telling the truth, as well as accusers lying. As for Ms. Reed's allegations against Joe Biden, from what I've read, there are important questions and inconsistencies. The timing of the story also raises political questions. For my part, I remain committed to Joe Biden as the presumptive Democratic nominee and believe that he will be a much better president than Donald Trump. He continues to have my support in the November election. End quote. Stevie Vargas, have you seen anything that indicates to you that the timing is political or that there are inconsistencies that trouble you?
There are no inconsistencies that trouble me. Again, this is something that happened a long time ago. And when you experience something as traumatic as that, what you remember and what you don't is incredibly unique person to person. Not everyone is going to remember the exact time or the exact day, but you might remember like the smell of a cologne. What you remember is very, very subjective. You're experiencing something traumatic and you go into survival mode. That's incredibly important to highlight. Also, I really hate how people turn to, oh, well, this is just political motivation to basically discredit him. There are different things that motivate and give people the courage to come forth with their story. Her coming forward now might offer a level of protection that she didn't have before, because he is in the limelight, you know what I mean? So he can't openly attack her and come for her in a way that he could have previously, even though he was a powerful man back then. He's under a microscope that gives a certain level of protection. It also gives a person courage. And this is just my thinking of trying to get in her shoes. I will never know what she's thinking. I will never know because everyone's experience is different, everyone's motivation experience. But when women come forward against powerful men, when they see that they're about to get even more power, that's an incredible motivation to stop something from happening again, because behavior doesn't just change. They call him Creepy Joe for a reason. And that's something that women do to protect one another. Like, oh, don't be alone with this person because they have a history of it. So they create nicknames. It's a way that we survive in these spaces when you have powerful people who hold power over you in different situations. So no, I don't have any concerns. This is it's textbook, and people's responses have been textbook. We can look back at what Vince just said. Everything that he said is textbook response to people who finally come forward with their story. We are told that we have ulterior motives, that we are suspect because we don't remember every detail. People need concrete evidence. That's something that you're never going to get. You're never going to get concrete evidence. I don't have any suspicions against Tara. This is something that has played out through society forever.
All right, Vince Felder, you want to respond to that? Go ahead.
One of the things is said that it's known in Washington which senators are the ones who are bad with people or with women and who are touchy and assault, whatever, you know, doing those things with women. Mitch Martin, Biden was one of the ones who was considered not to be that kind of guy. The other thing I would say, she came up with a story before. So say she waited till now. When she told the story last year about him touching her, what if she said touching her hair, whatever it was, she could have told it then. And like I said, he ran for vice president. The vice president of the United States is essentially the second most powerful person in the country, because if anything happens to the president, he's the president. So say he's about to get more power. I mean, vice presidency, you can't get much. The only more power you can get in this country is being the president of the United States. And so it seems to me that, like I said, even if she didn't remember herself, if she told people contemporaneously when it happened, they would know the date or the date around which it happened. Nobody's come up and said, it happened on March 5th, it happened on June 17th, it happened on February 3rd. Nobody can say that. So it seems very suspect to me, like I said. And like I said, it needs to be investigated further to see if it actually happened. But right now, there's not enough evidence to hang this man because the story has changed over time. Her story has changed over time. It's sketchy, and they're hoes. And so before we throw this guy out, other and say he's not qualified to run for president of the United States because of this allegation, we didn't know this allegation is actually true.
Well, and
so I'm in favor of further investigation. But right now, I'm not willing to say that.
Can I just make a point real quick, Stevie here?
Sure.
I think it's incredibly important to highlight because Vince keeps going back to, he co-signed the Violence Against Women Act and all, he's been a champion of women's rights. That's not a path. Anyone can commit crimes against women. And when you look at people who perpetuate crimes, it's not a stranger on the street like Lifetime and all these movies portray on TV. It's oftentimes a trusted friend, a trusted family friend, someone who's in your circle who has gained trust. That's just a fact. Data shows that.
Well,
so I just want to make that incredibly clear.
Okay, and I want to turn to Mary Whittier for a moment here because I want to read a couple of comments that I have from listeners on this, Mary, and then kind of work through one of sort of, I guess, my observation as a journalist as we continue to try to cover these allegations, because this will not be the only time. This is going to be part of our world forever, I think. And so let me read. Jared writes to say, Evan, I believe women, but I also don't want someone innocent accused of something they didn't do. Sarah emails the program to say, this whole thing feels kind of inevitable to me. I think it's important to listen to women and to stop dismissing them as attention seekers or liars. We know that it is usually not what's going on when a woman makes allegations. She's usually not lying. But when the movement says you must believe all women, isn't it inevitable that eventually someone is going to test the credibility of that premise? Of course. We've done this to ourselves. We have to respect women, not dismiss them. We also have to respect due process. I'm not a huge fan of Joe Biden, I'll be honest. I'm kind of amazed he's the candidate, but we're going to run him out of town now over a single allegation, 27 years old, with very thin evidence. Maybe your guests should describe what their standard of evidence should be. It can't be that no woman could ever lie, and we must use every allegation as proof. That road leads to disaster for men and women, for Democrats, and for Republicans. That's from Sarah. So, Mary, let me start with you on that. I understand the passion she's feeling as she sends that email. And I'm thinking of what Ronan Farrow, one of the journalists who helped sort of break the Me Too movement open, one of a group of journalists who did great work on that. Ronan Farrow has said that he does not adopt a mindset of believe women. His mindset is respect women and take their allegations seriously, all of them. And what that means is respect it, follow the evidence to wherever it leads, vet it fully, and don't dismiss women out of hand as attention-seeking or lying or politically motivated. Respect every allegation and follow it through, and then whatever you turn up is what you turn up. That should be the standard, and that's what Ronan Farrow says. And I tend to agree with that. I also tend to agree with the point that you made. I mean, the evidence is the evidence as well, that most of these cases, as best we can tell from the research, are not fabricated. So I'm curious to know if you agree, though, with Sarah. She's essentially saying that the Me Too movement kind of went too far with this believe women, believe women, believe women, because now we're in a position where all it takes is one allegation and we're saying, well, that person should be out of the race, that person should be out of the race, that person should be out of a job. And for Sarah, for this listener, Sarah, she's saying that's too much and we did this to ourselves and the standard has to be different than that. I'm curious to know where you are on that, Mary.
Well, I'll tell you. So I just come up with a couple of names, right? Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Harvey Weinstein, right? So I don't care what political party you are, and I'm not going to get into a political conversation, but the reality is when we talk about how people, well, why are they coming out now? I mean, some could argue the same thing with Christine Ford. Now, Brett Kavanaugh got in office. Some people believed him. Some people believed her. I don't think the Me Too movement is too much to this, to that. The reality is this. What makes the news? The woman who accuses the Duke lacrosse team, and they proved to be false allegations, that's one situation. That is the minority. That's that 8%. When 92% of claims, and the numbers actually are similar with children under the age of 18 and women, about 92-93% of accusations and claims, there is truth to that. Can they point out the exact date? Can they point out the exact hour? I mean, that is very difficult to do. But as I think it was Stevie that said, those sensory things sometimes are what builds more credibility. But listen, the Me Too movement is a long time a coming. And what has happened is we've just sort of accepted, well, that's how he is, Dirty Joe, Uncle Creepy Joe, creepy this, creepy that. You know, as kids when we grow up, we always have that quote-unquote uncle. We have got to be on equal playing ground. And you know what? Is Joe Biden, Donald Trump? I mean, you want to put a spectrum here? Like, okay, well, the worst is here and the least is over here. Donald Trump has 25 allegations, pattern of behavior. Of course, there's always going to be denial of allegations. Well, that's made up. That's political gain. That's this. That's that. Pattern of behavior. So in a situation with Joe Biden, when there are seven other women saying something, now, again, it's a spectrum, right? It's different running your hands through someone's hair and you know, massaging the top of their neck versus full-blown rape. And I'm not saying that either are okay, right? But there's a spectrum here. So I think that it is not, okay, a woman said it 100% of the time. I agree with the reporter you talked about. You dig deep. You look for evidence. You do as much research as possible. You put the facts out as they are, and you go through that process. And what comes of it, comes of it. I'll bet you there are people that don't believe that Christine Ford was telling the truth. I bet there's people that don't believe that Brett Kavanaugh was telling the truth. So, but to, you know, make sweeping generalizations like every single woman should always be believed every single time, you know, okay. I mean, people want to get to extremes, but the facts are what they are. Is what is the motivation? You know, we talked about, and I can appreciate, you know, Vince, where you're coming from. Well, why was it now? And how come, you know, isn't it interesting? This guy is running for president. Well, some could argue Christine Ford did this, and she, one of the things she said was, this man is going to be on the highest court in our country. Can I let that happen? This may not be the same analogy, folks, but I have seen this over and over and over with kids. You'll have a 12-year-old sexually abused by their uncle, by their father, by their stepfather, older brother. They don't say anything. They don't say anything. They don't say anything for years. Now that uncle goes after the younger sister. You know what? I got to say something. So maybe that's not the best analogy in the world, but to, you know, some people have different reasons for when they disclose and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it takes a lot of guts to say something. But I guess that's where I am. And regardless of what your political view is, there have been men accused of this stuff since the beginning of time.
We are beyond late for our only break, so let's sneak it in real fast. Let's do that, and then we've got a flood more comments coming in here, and we continue to talk about the allegations against Joe Biden. Let's do that next. Coming up in our second hour, a conversation about population density and the pandemic. In recent decades, trends show people around the world moving more and more to cities. Right now, it's understandable if you'd rather be maybe out in the countryside or in a space more spread out with fewer people. But what about in a post-pandemic world? Urbanists talk about the trends, the pandemic, their concerns, and the future. Next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Joe Biden's campaign says the allegations made by Tara Reid, a former staff member in the 1990s, are untrue. Kate emails, and I'd love to get Vince and Jerry responding to Kate's email. She says, I'm disgusted by my party. We claim to believe women, but when a woman makes an allegation that might hurt our candidate, we change our tune. Well, do we believe women or don't we? Do we care about this movement or don't we? I guess we don't. Vince Felder, that's from Kate. What do you say to that, Vince?
Well, let me say this. I said before, the fact is that he ran for vice president twice. So it's not like he wasn't at a high level. Why didn't this come out before then? The second thing is, I don't believe anybody should believe in any situation, every situation, regardless of what they say. I mean, that would create a standard. First of all, we have something that America called the presumption of innocence. And just because someone makes an allegation, without any investigation, without any corroboration, we're just willing to pronounce them guilty. That is a problem for me. You know, and everything I would say about this kind of predatory behavior is not one-off behavior. So where are the other women who claim that Biden put his hand up their skirt? This is if we're talking about that, when you look at Harvey Weinstein, you look at Bill Cosby, when you look at some of these other cases, you see more than one woman who's come and said he did this, he did this, he did this. This is a one-off allegation.
Okay.
And we need to see more investigation of that.
Did you think that Christine Blasey Ford was telling the truth in the Kavanaugh hearings, Vince?
I thought there was merit to her story. What I think happened in that case is that the president and the Republicans in the Senate short-circuited the investigation to make sure it couldn't be fully vetted. And so even though her story had great credibility, it was never fully corroborated enough to say that he couldn't be on the Supreme Court because they would not allow investigation to take place. I'm not saying we shouldn't investigate. I'm saying if people believe this happened, it should be investigated. But you can't just take the allegation on face value and say we're going to kick the man out of the race. He's no longer our nominee because this woman said this. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Jerry Lynn Sparks, what would you say to Kate's email?
I agree with Kate, and I agree with Ronan Farrow, the reporter. Only two people that know the truth, obviously, were there that day, like Mary said earlier. But I think that one of the things that Vance and others may be missing is that survivors of abuse and assault, they know the investigation is coming. They know the attacks are coming. They know the vetting is coming. It takes a lot of courage to come forward because they're risk losing their reputation, a lot of times their career, social ostracization. There's just so much that they risk. And I think what spurs these people to come forward later in life is that now that they see a perpetrator who's gaining more access to future victims, potential victims, or to have more power to hurt others, that they feel spurred to come forward. And this is, you know, it's also something that as a survivor of abuse, you tend to put things away in a pocket. And then all of a sudden this comes to the forefront. And you're like really having to address it again. And you want it to stop once and for all. And I am a survivor of abuse. And I can tell you that there's certain things in life that just you put away in a compartmentalized way to get through the day. And then when you see someone gaining power to hurt future victims, you're like, no, enough. I've had it. I'm going to speak out. And the other thing, you know, that Vince keeps saying, which I find very frustrating, saying it's a one-off. She reported it early on to multiple people, and she reported it along with seven other people. And it wasn't just recently that this was reported. So what we have to do is what Ronan Farrow says, go with what we know. There's eight different accusers. And there's video of Joe Biden brushing aside women's hair, getting right up into their personal space, very, very familiar with them, and kissing them on the neck. And then his past statements about Anita Hill saying this is a he said, she said thing. So I feel like there's a lot of investigation that needs to happen, and we can start with the belief and then work from there to vet. Believe both sides. Believe both the accused and the accuser and investigate.
All right, let me sneak in a phone call here before the hour's up. Tony in Rochester. Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I want to say, you know, I've brought sexual assault allegations to my boss against men that I was connected with. So I'm very, you know, supportive. But I was so angry to hear whoever said or accused Joe Biden of being a perpetrator. You know, there are standards of evidence. You don't have to have beyond a reasonable doubt. But, I mean, even the preponderance of the evidence kind of standard, I think, is required in these kind of cases. And to believe, you know, to think that people aren't politically motivated, you only have to look at Al Franken. And to the women who said the Democrats don't eat their own, that's exactly what we did to Al Franken. Okay? And I think the women there are completely motivated by the other side. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. And you know, in terms of, in regard to Blasey Ford, I believed her. I believed her, sure, I did. But in that case, so did most of America. And we could vote against Biden if we really believed him, right? Or if we had a real investigation. But in that particular case, there was no chance to vote against Kavanaugh. We didn't have a shot at that. That was rigged right from the start. So I would like people to at least look at the evidence and not to just lay out perpetrator allegations. That is so bad, honestly.
All right.
So that is really so bad.
Tony, let me just jump in because we're going to lose time. Stevie Vargas, what should the standard for evidence be then? How do you view that? Do we have Stevie? Hold on one sec, Stevie.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. It happens a lot here. Go ahead, Stevie.
No, I think we need to go the route of Ronan Farrow. Like, we need to look at the stories. We need to go with what we have and follow the evidence. We need to respect both parties. I'm very sure, I am positive that Joe Biden 100% believes that he did absolutely nothing wrong. He probably thought it was consensual. There are many things, but we're never going to get the perfect standard. This is something that happens between two parties. One does something to the other. There's no way to prove what happened. You need to go based on belief. You need to look at the evidence, and oftentimes the evidence, the physical evidence that people want, are not going to be there. Vince wants a date. Maybe if he had a date, maybe he'd believe her. I don't know, but the level of evidence is going to be subjective for each person to get them to believe women. So when I said perpetrator, yeah, perpetrator, people who do something against another person. So yeah, I'm going to say perpetrator. Stay mad about it. I don't know.
Stevie, realistically, in just 10 seconds here, you've called for him to get out of the race. You want to reopen the process, kind of start fresh? What do you want to do?
When I look at what leadership looks like, if I'm accused of something, even if I didn't do it, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to fight like hell to prove my innocence. But for the benefit of the party, I'm going to step aside. Like, listen, this is a distraction. Like, we can't hold someone else accountable. And then I'm just going to step over that because I'm above it. That's what I see, and that's what I don't like.
Vince Felder has said that he's going to continue supporting Joe Biden, but he does think that it's fair to ask for more investigations. 20 seconds, Mary Whittier. Is there a way forward where everyone's going to feel good about what happens? It doesn't seem like there is.
No, I don't think so. You know, people are going to believe what they believe, Evan. And I think that, you know, if Biden continues on the campaign trail, will it show up in the polls? Perhaps. But I think that it's just a lot of blurred lines. It's not black and white here.
I want to thank Mary Whittier, Jerry Lynn Sparks, Stevie Vargas, Vince Felder. I know we could have been here all day with this, but we appreciate all of your time. Thanks to all of you for being with us this hour.
Thanks, Evan.
All
right. More connections on the other side of this.